Three. Perfect.
All right. Good morning. Happy Sunday. We are live.
We're back, bitches.
We had our usual pre-podcast delay as we get our setup going. Mm-hmm. And this is our first episode of the fall, our first episode of October. Our first episode since the last one.
I know, and in our new format.
And in our new format. I think that we have this morning coffee thing that's going to take off because it's going to be a lot easier for us because we always stop for morning coffee to just have the show in our morning coffee format.
I know, right? It's going to be great. I can't see any of you, so hello. To those of you who
are live on Facebook, we are live on Instagram, we are recording for iTunes and Spotify, SoundCloud, and maybe you're watching this on a recording on YouTube, but you could always catch it live when we do them live. And if you've watched our show before or listened to our show before, one of the things that we've always said is that we wanted to bring on some of the people that we work with and some of the people that we coach so that you can get firsthand knowledge of what it's like to do some of the things that we always talk about on the show. And I know that we've had some people on before and it's been a while. So we had a delay in the show because we want to make sure that the first episode that we had was with our first guest for the season. So we have
Juan.
JC.
Yes. Juan.
And Juan has been with us for a little bit over a year, and he is in our contest prep group.
That's not how he started, but we're going to get
that. but we are going to get to that. And it's really important for us, for you, the listener, to get that story or that thing that makes their journey real. You know, it's very different sometimes, I feel, to hear it from us.
Yeah, everyone's used to listening to our story.
Right. So it's very important for anybody listening to always hear that other side of the story, like mm-hmm. what it's like to be on that side. Because it's really easy for us to come on and say, yeah, you know, you prep your food, you weigh your food, you eat your food, you work out. And it's like, yeah, you know, and then on the other side, it's like, yeah, you guys do it because you guys do it. But
yeah, exactly.
But it's always important to get that other side of the story. So 100%. Juan, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm so excited.
He's having the Nespresso, the Puerto Rico blend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Nespresso put out.
I don't know, but it changed my life.
Nespresso put out this. I thought it was going to be seasonal.
It is.
It's a seasonal.
But they decide
flavor.
Like how long their season lasts. They'll send an email when they're ready to be done with it. I just keep stalking.
And I wasn't an Nespresso fan.
Yeah, me either.
I was not.
You fought me on it for quite a bit.
Well, I like to take my time with my coffee. And I'm either going to drive somewhere to get it, wherever that somewhere is, to get the kind of coffee that I want. Or I was doing a French press for a while. And I was measuring out the beans. And I was weighing everything. And
it's a fucking process.
And I had...
First thing in the morning, that's way too complicated.
I was boiling my water in a kettle.
Yeah.
And it was a whole production, and I enjoyed it that way.
Straight from the 60s.
I enjoyed it that way. And it's not that I didn't want an espresso, but I like getting an espresso at, you know, like one of the windows or something.
Like
right?
A Cuban window.
Right. So, but when that new blend came out, then of course I'm game. You know, it's got a little Puerto Rican flag on it and everything.
That was my in. Like, I bought the machine and I was the only one who used it. And then Bree came around and then I was like, look, they have a Puerto Rico one. Do you want to try it? He's like,
So I'm game for espresso all the time.
It's good, right?
And then we added the evaporated milk to that, which I know many people frown upon because that's bad, but it's not. Check those macros out. So now I have that every day, multiple times a day. Yeah. And I haven't had my French press in a minute, but it might make a comeback.
You
never know.
To the good side. You never know. Maybe next you get an iPhone. Join the rest of the family.
Never, ever, ever.
He's
ever.
The only one without an iPhone.
Never. I don't know how to use that thing. My fingers don't fit on that. Like,
oh my gosh.
No. Anyway, so... Let's get right into this chat.
Let's do it.
Juan doesn't know where to put his hands.
Is this your first podcast?
It is.
Oh, I'm so excited.
This is Juan's first podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember like when we started the show, it would always be on audio. So that's why the mic is there.
Yeah.
And it was always sometimes, I think, easier for people because they were just talking to the mic. But now we do them live, so there's no editing. This is what it is.
I need to figure out like a prettier way to do that. Maybe like stick that wire in there.
Don't worry about that. This is what it is. Listen, there's a mic and a laptop. There's
and three a wire. Phones.
Yeah, like it is what it is.
Yes. I know, right? Phones and stools and.
So let's get right into his story.
Let's do it.
I actually think we probably start better where he is now.
And then backtrack.
So, what's the current state of fitness look like for you? What are you doing? What are you training for? I would even say walk us through your current diet. I know what it is, but I'd rather you go. I wrote it.
Yeah.
So one question at a time. What's your current state of fitness and what are you training for?
Well, right now I'm training for walking on stage in November for the WVFF.
Miami.
Amateur fitness, right? Amateur fitness, I believe.
Male fitness model.
I was going to do the female, but they were like, nah.
Didn't work out.
But
no diva for you.
No diva. But yeah, that's pretty much what I'm training for. I just finished doing 75 hard.
Yeah, once on 75 hard.
Twice.
So
that was. If you don't know what 75 hard is, we've talked about it on the show many times.
Yeah, backtrack.
Yeah, it's
backtrack.
But yeah, that's my high end goal to keep me in track, because before all this, WVFF wasn't the goal. It was just to change my life, you know, to get into this lifestyle and just to change my life. But it's been a good attention grabber and keeping my goals set. But currently that's what I'm training for.
So you're getting ready for the stage.
Yep.
What does that look like for you right now? Are you training 5 hours a day? Are you living on, you know, tilapia and asparagus? What's that look like?
Well, it's actually not that crazy that people think like, oh, you're just eating all, you know, just eating a specific type of food. Pretty much my day looks like from like 6 a.m. to like midnight. And I train usually twice a day.
Okay.
Usually 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on what I have to do, what I have to get in. My meals...
Yeah, what do you eat? What do you eat in the morning? Tell the public.
Well,
make everybody angry.
Usually start off with 2 eggs, 3 toasts.
Toast.
3 toasts.
Scoop of peanut butter.
3 toasts.
Yeah.
No, you don't have
to. No. Some coffee. Usually get like 7 meals in during the day. Then after that, a couple of hours later, when I go to work, I'll have like a snack in, which is like 2 bananas. Another thing of
two bananas.
Peanut butter. And a protein shake. Then around midday, I have about 8 ounces of rice, 8 ounces of protein, either chicken, steak, ground beef, or fish.
Rice.
Mucho rice.
Rethink this coaching relationship.
Yeah, I'm not even, that's like halfway through.
Oh my God. Day,
right? It's only noon.
It's only noon. After that, let's see, after that, I'll have a second meal, which is lighter on carbs. Right now, I'll do 6 ounces of either chicken or steak. And, I either have fries or potato chips, but I'm
fries.
Yeah, I know.
Potato chips. Baked?
Yeah. It's baked.
Baked chips.
2 ounces only, guys. It's not that. What's up?
I mean, after those 2 bananas, what else do you want?
That's usually around 3 or 4 o'clock when I get off work. Then I go train heavy. And that usually gives me the fuel to train. Then I'll have my post protein shake. And then I'll have my dinner, which is 6 ounces of. Burger meat. Double cheese.
Burger meat.
So, burger meat with
burger
bread.
Meat with bread.
You have bread at night?
Dude. And here's the kicker, though. I don't.
We're doing it wrong.
By the time I get home.
Sure. No, look at him. He's blowing up.
You're not supposed to be eating bread at night.
And here's the kicker. By the time I get home and I actually eat that, it's like maybe 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and then I go to sleep.
There's definitely something wrong
there. We need to plug in some of his photo shoot pictures.
Because you're not supposed to be eating carbs after 6, I think.
Yeah, something about 5.
And bread is definitely the devil.
Yeah, bread is really bad. You're not supposed to be
straight
doing that.
From Satan.
How much weight have you lost?
Well, since the initial start.
Since you started.
Since I started with you, and this is before prepping. Whatever,
yeah, before the prep, the whole, since you've been with us.
I was like 165 pounds, and the lowest I went to was like 145.
So 20 pounds eating bread after 6 p.m.
Eating bread and bunch of rice. And
we're doing it wrong.
Something's wrong.
We're definitely doing it wrong. Because all that rice and all that bread, you shouldn't lose 20 pounds.
Right.
No way.
And we did it in 2 weeks, right?
We're going to plug his before and after.
Yes.
We did it in 2 weeks.
So that was the surprising part. So I was training with you, but I wasn't doing a nutrition.
So now we can backtrack.
Right.
So Juan came to the gym more than a year ago to try a workout.
Just to work out.
Just to try a workout.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first thing I did was just to try out.
I usually ask people if they've done something wrong to whoever brings them. Because it's always an interesting experience. But he came to try a class and he enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
And
I was hooked.
And, you know, he's just started coming to as many workouts as he could fit in, you know.
Yeah.
But like most people, the component of the exercise was missing before. But this, you know, the fitness lifestyle isn't about one component. You know, it's not about, well, I'm just going to fix my food or I'm just going to fix my workout. It's you know, it's a well-rounded approach. So he came and started working out. And, you know, and as we got to talking, I always preface this coaching relationship with, you know, trust and making sure that it's a good fit. You know, it's like dancing. You know, you can be both good dancers, but if you're not dancing the same song or you're not on the same beat, it's going to look like a mess. So coaching is a lot about trust, and that takes time. And as we got to talking, about food and stuff, and you know, we never impose anything on anyone at the gym. It's always one of those things where I'd just rather inform. And if what I'm saying makes sense, then you're more than welcome to jump on in with what we're doing. But as we got to talking about what he was eating, you know, he had a lot of the same ideas that a lot of people have, right?
About food. I thought I was eating enough, yeah.
You know, he thought he was eating enough, and typical things. You know, you got to cut your calories, you got to work out more, do a lot of cardio. He was desperate to go running. He just wanted to go for a run because that's what you do to lose weight, right? You run. Right.
Cardio.
That was like
cardio's the magic.
Run. Yeah.
And the more we got to chatting, I kept telling him, like, listen, you know, you've got to fix some of these habits and fuel your body in a way that supports, you know, all
that's
the things
the key,
you want to do.
Fuel. Like, I never related nutrition and food and all that as fuel for what I'm doing. Not only for working out, but everything else in
your
my life.
Mm-hmm.
My job, my
no
personal
one looks
life.
At it like that.
Yeah, like the way I'm fueling myself now, and we were talking about this the other day, I'm in a better mind state throughout the day, even if I'm working or not working out, whatever, it just feels different. And the way that I'm more alert, I can remember things better, I'm more coherent, whatever. Like, it's just fueling me just to get through the day. So I never related food as fuel for your body.
It's so crazy because no one ever thinks that that anything else works on E. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your car doesn't go on E, your lights and the power in your house, they're not on E. Like, nothing operates on E, yet people mistreat their bodies.
Yeah.
You know,
and no one really ever looks at it that way. Like, the only time somebody is really serious about making a change in the way that they eat or taking care of their body is either if they get sick or if they're super fed up with the way that they look and they're willing to do whatever. And usually that means something opposite from doing good to your body. Right. But it's what you were saying actually last night. Like, people don't really realize like how good their bodies are supposed to feel.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
We've talked about that several times. You know, people don't for a second, like, for the most part, understand that you're supposed to feel good.
You're
not
supposed
to be
tired
all the time. Listen, it's normal to I'm saying,
sluggish,
but it's okay to be tired. Like, listen, you had a long day, you had a long night.
You're human.
It's okay to be tired. You just are not supposed to operate like that.
Right. Live in that state.
And the solution to that is not more of this, which I enjoy thoroughly. But listen, I had one of these last night. I was ready to go to sleep. So it's not a lack or need for stimulants. You know, you're supposed to feel good, and like anything else that doesn't operate on E.
Right.
If you're on E, then you're not going to feel good.
It affects everything, like your mood, how much energy you have to do things that you need to do,
your
job, your
relationships,
you know,
exactly.
It's all
of it is related. You know,
but people only think about food and they only connect it to weight loss.
Right. It's like, I got to watch my food because I'm trying to lose weight, or right. I got to watch.
Or the opposite. Everyone that eats super healthy, but is complaining about the way that they look because for whatever reason, people think healthy foods don't have calories.
Let's stop there for a second. Let's
I open a can of worms.
Let's address
let's
that.
Let's go.
You know, how, if you've ever said to yourself, right? And if you can answer this in the comments, that would be great. If you've ever said to yourself, I'm eating healthy or this is healthy, how are you measuring that? How did you come to that conclusion?
Right.
How did you, so you've got your food, right? Let's say you've got your plate.
You've got your bowl of granola with acai.
Right, you've got your granola bananas. Bowl with acai and bananas with the 700
and
calories.
And nut comes butter.
With, right? How are you quantifying the health in that bowl?
Right.
Are you dissecting it? Are you measuring it somehow?
Fruit is from the ground. It's from the earth.
It's of the earth. Okay. So and you watch that fruit grow and
maybe I should censor that. No, so it is.
You know, like that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like everybody labels, well, I'm eating healthy.
Yeah. I can't lose weight. What the hell does that really
even,
healthy.
But what does that even mean? Yeah. Like.
Yeah. And listen, fruit and acai and honey and almond butter, all that shit is full of sugar too.
Well, everything has, well, forget the calorie part. It's like, how are you go to the doctor, right? And that's a different subject, but you go to a doctor. And hopefully it's a good one. And they give you a prescription for medication, mm-hmm. not for fun. And don't they give you a prescription for a certain amount? Or do they say, here, take this and drink it at will or take yeah. as many pills as you want? Yeah. Isn't it a set amount? Isn't it a quantified amount,
right.
a measured amount
for
over
you,
a set amount
for
of
your
time?
Body.
And doesn't somebody in a lab measure the medication so that it's the exact amount that you're supposed to take? So how are you quantifying the health or nutritional value of the food that you're calling healthy?
Probably by right. what I see online. Or
you saw it on
media,
Instagram over there?
Yeah.
Somebody posted it.
Someone in shape yeah. posted a picture yeah. of something.
Right. You know, and that's funny because I remember a conversation with Juan about when he started to share some of the foods that he was eating with his friends, their reaction. To the types of food and quantity.
Yeah, so pretty much in my line of work is a bunch of guys, you know.
And guys know everything.
And they know everything.
Guys know everything.
And listen, you know, like.
Guys are my favorite, actually, because they know everything. Yeah, I know that.
And the I mean, everybody has their opinion, fine. But I find it funny the people that are giving me advice that are worse shaped than I am. Hmm. So I'll pull out my Tupperware and it's just a mountain of rice or whatever portions. And it's all, you know, measured before, and they just see me eating a bunch of rice and a bunch of steak or whatever, and they're like, aren't you on a diet?
Well, dieting means asparagus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to lose weight. I was like, yeah. And like, no, that's not good for you. Like, why? No, because rice is not good, but why isn't it good? So they couldn't give me a
right, it's just not good. You know.
Like, just they'll just label already assuming what I'm eating, it's not.
Well, it has to be bad.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's gotta be bad because they said.
And by that time, I was already, what, like 20 pounds in,
mm-hmm.
like lost. So like what you were asking me before, I lost like over 20 something pounds. The first time I actually tried to do the meal plans and did the 6 week, I did a 6 week nutritional thing. I lost those 20 pounds
mm-hmm.
like that
mm-hmm.
in 6 weeks mm-hmm. and nothing crazy,
eating
not starving, not air and water or whatever, like eating rice and, but it's all structured. Like you said, like,
There's a method to the madness,
yeah.
you guys.
Yeah.
Right. It's not, you know, it's funny because we joke about it all the time, but
yeah.
but it's not like, oh, you're going to start working with us. All right, let's just give you some rice and bread. And
let's
stuff you up
with some carbs.
That's not it either. You know, it's, I think that the reason that we joke about it all the time, it's because that's usually on the top of everybody's no list.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has a list of things that you're not supposed to eat when you're trying to lose weight or diet.
Mm-hmm.
And rice, bread, pasta are usually on the top universally.
Yeah.
I've rarely ever found somebody that's like, no, I can't eat carrots because I'm trying to lose weight. You know, it's universally the same. Rice, bread, carrots, and it's probably with socially with the population that
yeah.
we deal. You know, there's a lot of Latins. I'm like,
me too. But we were talking about that the other day when I think it was my cousin that messaged me and was like, oh, that Puerto Rican food you're eating looks
yeah.
so good. But where are you guys at? Like, what is that? You know, in Brazil, we really are not that familiar with Puerto Rican food. He's like,
Puerto Rico's an
that.
Island, yeah. 100 by 35.
So he's like, but you didn't eat any of that, right? And I'm like, Yeah, I did. I'm not going to fucking go to a restaurant and watch everybody eat. Of course I ate it. But it's like...
But you're not supposed to because you're dieting.
Why are you eating all that stuff? Aren't you getting on stage? I'm like, yeah, but I still ate it. Like, we've been eating all weekend. We're both, we're all getting on stage.
Fucking phenomenal.
Yes.
So I think that the point that we always try to make on the show is always that, like, you know, everybody has this stigma or this set of rules that they got imposed or handed down to them. I don't know how you got
family.
I don't know. Did I miss that day where people handed down the rules of what you're not supposed to do? And I was absent.
I think you were doing yoga then.
I was doing the yoga. Yeah, I do tons of yoga. Did the yoga before.
Could you imagine him doing yoga?
I could do it.
I'm sure you could.
I could do it.
Oh, there's a yoga challenge coming up later.
Yoga challenge. But
just don't include me because I can't.
But how did all these rules that universally everyone got stick so hard? You know, because it's so hard to get people to get rid of them. Yeah. Like they worship these
rules.
And
even now the people that are the same people that I see at work or in my personal
still
life.
Still the same.
Some people are still like, no, you're not.
And interesting, we talk about it all the time. Like, he's down 20 pounds. We've shared his before and after pictures. He's done three photo shoots with us. Mm-hmm. You know, the last one was on the beach. And if you see his transformation inside of just these last 12 months, it is
crazy.
Tremendous, right?
Crazy.
Yet there is still an argument in his social circle on whether or not what he's doing is right.
But that happens all the time.
Yeah, it's going to happen all the
time. It's crazy.
No matter what, but it's important.
Even with supported evidence.
But it's important to, like, at first, I'm not going to lie, it kind of bothered me.
Right.
But then I'm like, why should it bother me? It should actually make me feel good.
Right.
And the funny part is, you know, it just shows you that the things that people believe about food have nothing to do with truth.
Right.
It's more about them holding on to their truth.
That's what it is. Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, I have to believe that rice is bad, that you can't eat after six, that I probably have to be fasting, and that the only way to lose weight is to live on vegetables.
But then on the flip side, what makes me ignore those guys, there's people that come around, then they ask me, damn, like, what could I do? What should I be doing?
Right. That's the best part. And that's why we do this show, right? Yes. So that we could share. And that's why we want to have guests. You know, we have on our team almost 20 people getting on stage, and that'll be 20 stories for you to listen that, you know, are going to be their personal story, their journey.
And everyone's journey is different.
Absolutely.
We have people of all different ages, all different lifestyles, all different careers, all different things. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go back to the fact that people fight even with supported evidence because we put out before and afters all the time. Mm-hmm. And on those days specifically, we get so many people that reach out to us about working with us, whether it's because they saw us posting everyone's before and afters or somebody they know posted their own before and after, right? And they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. I want to do it, right? If somebody does come on board from seeing those before and afters, they, even with that, like, you came into this program with the idea that, like, look at that before and after. Now that's going to be me next. Mm-hmm. And still you want to fight me on the rice. So it's like, it's what you always say. Like, it's almost harder to change people's beliefs on food than it is to change their religion.
100%.
Not that we would want to try to change anyone's religion.
I have.
But, but even when people see all the before and afters and then they go do their own process, it's still a struggle.
I think a lot of times people think that,
like, how is that so ingrained?
I think that it's there's sometimes I've seen that people think that, and I've seen this with other coaches too, so it's not just us. People think that if they're working with that group or that coach, that it's going to happen
for
them. Listen, everybody, every before and after that we've put out, that person has done the work. They've eaten the food. They've worked out. You know, we assist with the plan and suggestions, and it should look like this, and you should do this, but that person needs to put in the work. Mm-hmm. So even if you have the same starting point, right, where you are the same height, same age, same weight, if you don't put in the same level of effort and time and consistency, it's not going to work for you because you got the same plan, you know? And that's one of those things that, you know, a lot of the people that we work with always report back, and they're like, oh, you know, my friends at work, they're like, oh, can you just tell me what your diet is? Can you just give me your plan?
That's what I was going to mention.
And I tell them all the time, sure. Like, it's just, but it doesn't mean it's going to work for them.
So that's one thing. I had an coworker of mine come up to me, like, dude, like, tell me what you eat. Can you tell me, like, give me a plan or give me a suggestion? Like, look, man, it's built for me.
Right.
It's built for how my body burns the fuel, how long I'm up, like, how I train. It's built for me. And also, it's not like, oh, here, Juan, you gave me a ton of rice and steak to eat, and it started happening. We've adjusted along the way. Mm-hmm. It's kind of trial and error to see, okay, this worked, this didn't work. Okay, I can't take away a food. I can give you more food, add more activity. Like, it's an adjustment. But like you said, I put in the time. I stuck to the script.
Right.
And then from there is a journey, and we started adjusting to where we need to.
And I think that's one of the things you just said. You stuck to the script, right?
Yeah.
You didn't go off script.
Right.
You know, it's also interesting to see the process unfold where, all right, great. Here's your plan. Here's what you need to do. And then the person does everything but that, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you're not going to get that outcome if you don't stay on script.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on a Broadway play and you're supposed to be performing an act, and you decide to ad lib and do your own thing, you know, is that going to play out the right way, or
are you going to
be fine?
Right.
You know,
it's
the same thing, you know.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people, that's also why I like to have other people on the show. And we've talked about this. You know, it's important for everyone to get different stories, because everyone, like we said, we have women and men of all ages, all different careers. We have nurses, we have cops. He works from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Like, people are busy. Some people have 6 kids. Some people have none. Like,
yeah.
Right. So one's journey can't really be compared to another. At the end of the day, regardless of what your situation is, the most critical part is going all in on it and, you know, doing the work that you need to do for you.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I think people do that, like with us, like, yeah, but you guys, you know, can work out all day. Like, I wish.
And I get that too.
Or
like,
you have him 24/7. There's always an excuse.
There's
like
always something.
You always have one kid. You only have one kid, or Bree's only 18, or, you know, whatever. Like, there's always a reason why someone's doing it and you're not. And to be able to get 20, 25, 30, whatever amount of people on the show to tell their story their way, everyone has their own journey. Everyone has their struggles. You know, everyone has their thing.
Yeah.
And I like to, you know, I like to interview, like, we have more clients that we could talk to and tremendous transformations. I just like to interview the people that get on stage, because I think that the separator with the people that get on stage is not that their diet is stricter, is that they just stayed on longer. They were more consistent, more compliant for a longer period of time. It's non-negotiable. You got to put in the work.
And
so
the funny thing is that we're talking about the transformation and looking good and all that, but initially, I want to lose weight. Who doesn't? But I mostly did it for the mental, because I was just tired of who I was seeing in the mirror, and I was tired of how I was thinking about not only myself, but everything else. Like, I would start my morning negative, and everything else was just trickled down. And it's still a work in progress now. I'm not saying, oh, I'm perfect or whatever. But I was never one to be disciplined. I would try. I was always hardworking, but still always slack off. Like, I realized that at that point in my life, like, I need to change.
Right.
Because if not, I'm really heading down to something that's going to be just disaster.
And this was a vehicle.
So this is why, and I've never been one to pack my meals and follow a meal plan. Never.
And that wasn't even what we did. You know, it's a great story, because what we did for him and what we do for everyone is meet you where you're at.
Right.
You know, what we do is
steps.
Like, all right, you know, what is it that you're doing now? What is it that you like to do? What is a non-negotiable? Like, listen, there is no way that I can be consistent with anything that you tell me to do if I don't have a brownie Saturday night.
Yeah.
Whatever. Insert thing, you know. If you don't look at this as a lifestyle and you're looking at it like, I'm gonna restrict myself for 2 weeks, you're gonna fail every time.
Yeah.
So what we do is we take whatever it is that has to be there and insert it in, because anything is figure outable, right? Anything can be put in anybody's plan. And the likelihood of you being more consistent is so much higher if you're going to enjoy this process, right? So whatever it is, you know, like all last week, if you're watching her stories, you know, she's been having wine, she's been having
cookies,
she, you know, and people might look at that and say, well, there's no way that that could work, or there's no way that I could do that and that could work, because if I eat one cookie, I put on 10 pounds.
Yeah, my favorite, if I look at a cookie or smell a cookie, I gain 10 pounds. I'm like, what the fuck kind of comment is that?
Right. So, but what ends up happening is when you do account for them, right? Now going back to how you're measuring your healthy food, we measure it by actually accounting for what you're consuming. When you account for the food that you're consuming, then it's a lot easier to include it. And no, it doesn't mean that it's 5 glasses of wine every night. It means that we are accounting for the 5 ounces of wine
on the scale.
Or two glasses of wine. And we are deducting from somewhere else because that is a choice that she is making. She is choosing to say, you know what? I am going to skip my carb or my fat and I'm going to have a glass of wine instead.
I will not be making that choice starting next week because I'm losing food.
Right. So, but it's still a choice.
Correct.
And it's something that can be built in so that the person, so that her plan fits her lifestyle and it fits. You have to be consistent and you have to be compliant. But if the things that you're eating you hate, then you're never going to be consistent
and compliant. So the two things that are key for that are including the things that you want, that you like, that are non-negotiable, and working with your schedule. His schedule is also, you have a bunch of people with tricky schedules.
Right.
But his was no
But different. Like, you know, and sorry, I went on a different in a different direction. But when we talked, he's like, listen, my weekends, I like to, you know, I like to chill. I like to go out or whatever. We built that in, you know, we built that in. So that guess what? When the weekend came, he was able to do the things that, you know, people at his age like to do.
But you
his
know
age.
What? Yeah. At age 55. Yeah. but yeah, that's a good point. You do make it so we can build it. And in a way, it's fun, you know, but yeah.
And then you made a different set of observations. Exactly. I know
so,
where you're going.
So then I realized that.
We're here.
I realized that this was a whole, like I said, this is pre- prepping for the show, whatever. I just wanted to change how I look and how I feel. So yeah, my thing was the drinking, like I to go out, enjoy myself.
Adult together. Drinking.
Adult drinking. Beverages. Adult beverages.
Beverages of the adult
beverages.
Yes, I get it.
So
just making it clear for the audience.
But I realized that was a gateway to then eating bad and all that. So I would train Monday through Friday as hard as I could and be strict with the food or whatever. And then just Friday night or Saturday night came around and I was 100 steps back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even though like we build it to like, okay, you can have one or two whatever drinks you want, but it was just trickle something that I didn't want to. So instead of moving forward, I felt, okay, I'm going back to my bad habits.
You're never really getting
it. And we
built that all in at the very beginning of his plan, right?
Yeah.
And the weight loss that he's talking about happened with all of that.
Yes.
But, you know, and we chatted about this the other day, he would come in Sundays to work out and feel like crap.
Beat up,
you know, hungover, body's tired.
Yeah.
And what ends up happening is, I could say that, right? But until he said it, until he caught it, was that you start to say, you know, is it even worth, like I'm putting in all this work, is it worth not even the calories, but like now I don't, back to the how we started, now I don't even feel good.
Yeah.
So the feel good was there. So like I realized that, and look, you want to drink? I had some drinks last night. It's different now though.
We all did.
We all did. And some good fucking drinks.
Yes.
But I realized at that point, the changing feeling good had to make some more drastic measures. And I never thought that I could give that up, the good times, the drinking. And I said, all right.
And that it would come from you.
Yeah. I said, this has to stop. And it did. So I made that decision that I didn't want to feel like that anymore. So my training got better. The weight, even though I didn't lose more weight, it's like, oh, you stopped drinking, you lose another 20 pounds. No, I've been, after those 20 pounds, I've been in that spot.
But you got a lot more food.
Yeah, I got a lot more food and I look better though.
Mm-hmm.
And the feel better was getting, you know, it was increasing my mentality and all that. So I realized that was the main thing I had to let go. And I did. So I went maybe like when this year started, like the first 4 months without even touching a drop of alcohol.
And that's part of your journey specifically.
Yeah.
You know, what people don't realize because it's not sexy to hear. This is a journey of self-discovery in a lot of ways. Like for me, you know, like the alcohol has never really been a problem for me. I can have a glass of wine and be happy. I don't need another.
Now
I don't need junk food.
Now it's more controlled.
Even a brownie,
yeah.
I could have like a scoop of ice cream and I'm good as much as I love sweets.
Yeah.
But if you put a loaf of bread in front of me, it's going down.
Yeah.
You know, like if I buy a loaf of bread, I will be picking at it until it's done. I need it all gone.
Yeah.
So that's my trigger. But I never realized it, you know. And the same thing with foods that don't sit good and repairing my gut and repairing hormones
Meals
and getting rid of acne
thing.
And all the bloating. There's so many things that have come up during my journey in these past couple of years that you've discovered and that you fixed that I never would have thought A, were a thing or B, that, you know, I would actually like overcome and now live in a completely different way because of it.
Right.
So a lot of those things people don't want to hear because everyone just wants to lose weight. And that's great. Like you said, that's a great reason to start.
So,
but this journey is really a journey of a lot of other things that you kind of.
It's not only that, like, and then I realized that, cause I also junk food was my big thing, like, you know, fast food and stuff like that. So then I started realizing at that point, how important it was to feel my body right. And still, if I wanted to at times, I still had maybe a junk food or I had some Taco Bell, whatever.
Taco Bell, my favorite.
Yeah. But I realized that, all right, I got to feel myself right if I want to continue to make progress. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I thought I was looking in the best shape of my life. And then I started doing other stuff, like my first 75-day hard, and I saw a tremendous improvement. But I stuck to that discipline. I was like, all right, I need to stick to the script. I need to treat my body right. And then from there, it just started taking off. So, and I'm only a year in, and I know I got a lot more work to do. But I know now what it takes and what I have to do. Like when I have to have that mentality, it's time to work, I'll work. When I can have some fun, it's time to have some fun.
You know, it's funny that as he's saying that, I'm thinking, you know, we had a photo shoot on the beach 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you don't know how many times inside of that weekend I said, and we've said it to several people already, if the day you walked through the door, the day you got on the call, I told you that you were going to look like this, would you have believed me? Right. Right? The answer is 100% of the time, no. Mm-hmm. And yet a lot of people that see that transformation don't want to put in the same kind of time and effort. They want it to happen in a week or two. And I don't understand sometimes how rational people, functioning adults, can't make that math work in their heads. You know, the time's gonna pass anyway, right? Yeah. But you want it so fast, and none of those outcomes are a result of anybody doing anything quick. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's the opposite. It's the result of people doing it slowly, mm-hmm. taking their time and letting the process take the route that it's supposed to take. Because, you know, the outcome isn't a result of, okay, day one, all right, you're going to end up here, this is going to be your body fat, you're going to look like this. That's going to happen no matter what. What we design is the process by which anything is going to happen, right? Like we draw the map. Where you end up is totally going to be dependent on you, you know, mm-hmm. and how committed you are to that process. Yet every time somebody reaches out because they saw somebody's transformation, mm-hmm. you know, not one time do they ask, you know, how long did that take for them? How much work did they put in? How much effort was involved? You know, they're like, no, I want to lose 20 pounds, you know, and I'm like, all right, great. You know, we never discuss time, and then 2 weeks go by and it's like, well, I haven't lost 20 pounds yet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Or a lot of times people watch someone's journey, whether they watch my journey or any journey of anybody that you know, right? And you watch where that person is, like, the whole progression of how much they've changed, how much their body has changed, how much their confidence has changed. People watch the transformation. Sometimes it's not just about the before and after. Sometimes you watch it all unravel, right? It doesn't make them better than you, but maybe you didn't embark on that journey because it was going to take too long. Where are you at now?
Right.
Like, how was your last 12 months? Like,
right.
You, what did you do in the last 12 months? Yo-yo diet, beat yourself up after every party instead of just having a plan and execute it and letting it take its course. That's one of the things I have to say. The other thing is, for all the parents out there, don't be a fucking hypocrite. You would never let your kid cut corners or take the easy route or do things fast. What would you teach? Everything takes time. You got to put in the work. You got to be patient. You got to be good to yourself. You got to take care of yourself. Don't let anybody mistreat you.
I honestly think that could be a show on its own, because this week specifically, I've been like, I've written these long ass posts that I just had to get out of my, you know, get out and just not posted them, mm-hmm. because the amount of times that I see parents break things down for their kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to do your homework. You know, you've got to get ready for this test. You've got to do this. You got to put in the time.
You can't eat junk all day.
Right.
You got to take care of your body.
And then like completely do the opposite.
Right. And they rely on you. They're watching you. And I'm not saying that everyone has to get on stage.
Right. But you're doing the exact opposite of what you're telling your kids to do. And you're telling your kids to do this so that they can grow up and do things like, apply the same stuff that you're talking about.
And not for nothing, but most people probably went through the same thing growing up. Mm-hmm. Everything your parents told you was shit that they weren't doing on their end.
100%.
So break the cycle.
100%. Like, you know, and it's not practice what you preach. Like, don't turn around and fill your kid's plate with vegetables.
No.
It's like, look at yourself. You know, right. Are you putting in work? Are you putting in time?
Are you being patient?
Are you setting goals? Are you doing your homework? Yeah. Are you doing all of the things that you tell your kids to do? And then if you're not, then make sure that you take the time and do it for yourself.
And again, I'm not saying everyone has to step on stage or have a six pack.
Has nothing to do with that.
Maybe your goal is to go on a walk every day.
Yeah, the biggest.
Set a goal and show your kids you're going to do it a weekend, 2 weeks in. Oh, wow, my mom is still going on that walk every day.
Yeah.
It could be anything, you know, it could be a step or two.
I wish your kids would turn around and be like, well, you don't do your homework.
Yeah.
You don't stick to your plan. Why should I?
You're not gentle with yourself.
Right. Like,
you know,
like the biggest thing I learned, I think the biggest thing that I found is like show up for yourself.
Yes.
That's it.
That's what I was like. One of the things I learned going back again, because the 75 hard was, I think that was the point where I saw the biggest transformation physically and mentally, is show up for yourself and I can't cheat myself.
Because
at the end of the day, I'm going to go to sleep and I'm the one going to be with this thing. I didn't do this, I didn't do that. So just show up for yourself and just do what you got to do. Put in the work, put in the time, whatever. But at the end of the day, you're lying to yourself.
And that's where the self-confidence comes from. That's what this journey is all about. That's where the transformation really happens. You show up for you consistently more than you ever have. You look at yourself differently. You treat yourself differently. And your whole world around you changes because you showed up for you.
I started caring less about what people were telling me at work, like what I'm eating, whatever. And I started realizing that they just weren't telling me those things anymore because they saw I was carrying myself a different way. I was talking a different way. So what mattered was what I thought about myself when I woke up and who I was looking at in the mirror.
Yep.
Everything else was just, didn't care. And it's not being selfish or whatever.
And that's a show.
At the end of the day, when I woke up at 5 a.m. and went to sleep at 12, I know everything that I put in, I had to do it. My dues are paid and I was able to go to sleep.
Yes.
With that mentality is I did it. Let's get up for the next day. So that's what matters.
And that is all we have to say about that. You know, hopefully you got something from that.
Peace out.
We're going to try to do the new format like this early in the morning with our coffee. We're probably going to have a show, me and her, and then have, you know, a guest on.
The next guest. Which we'll probably do through Zoom. Yeah. Unless actually I've been meaning to get Bree on the show with both of us.
Yeah, that would be interesting, right? You want to see Breon have a conversation with us in real time?
Poor Bree.
But yeah, so we're gonna do one show where it's just me and her, and then we're gonna have another show with interviewing one of the people on our contest prep team, and
we're gonna try to do it like that.
And
every other
that's
show.
Going to go like that for the next, you know, several months because there's a lot of people to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have a couple of events going on where we're going to have a few of them.
Yeah.
And it's better to do it live because I don't like to edit.
Yeah.
So we might do some through Zoom. Yeah. But
I just had one more question for him. Why did you decide to compete other than peer pressure?
Yeah. Yeah. Peer pressure. Like.
Yeah, don't let her pressure you.
Man, she's good. She is good. No, So this is what it was. So like we were talking about. So when I first started, I was working out, doing crazy stuff. I would do 3 classes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I was just working out. My eating habits was bad. I got the nutritional program with him, changed my life. But as the year was ending, you know, we're getting to Christmas times and all that. So my bad habits started coming back. So I already did the 6 weeks and I saw the transformation. And in my mind, I was like, I'm good. I'm in the best shape of my life. That's it. So that was my goal, that 6-week nutritional thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already thinking, oh, I don't have to do this anymore. I can come work out. Like, I can maintain. But I started noticing that my bad habits are coming back, the drinking, the partying, whatever.
Because the 6 weeks was the goal.
My goal was up.
Right.
So I didn't have anything in front of me. So I was like, I need something big in front of me to work towards.
Keep going.
And this is before the 75. I didn't realize all that stuff. So I was around the gym and around them, and I saw the contest prep and all that. And Lais was the first one, like, you should do it. I'm like, what? No.
You're like, I'm so shy.
Crazy.
Let me tell you, so was I. That's how this goes.
So, but then the more I started realizing that, like, it's not about being a model or whatever. It's like, look at everything I have to go through. Like, training hard and just having that goal like to work towards. If I'm gonna be in the best shape of my life where I wanna be and that's what I have to put up with, so be it. I have to get on stage, fine. But it's all about also getting out of my shell and getting out of my comfort zone. So I needed that in front of me. So that's when I decided to do it. And then the 75 hard was like, and I learned also working with you and listening to the podcast that you have to have also mini goals to reach that
in between.
Between just to keep you in check. So once I did that, I never looked back. My bad habits started going away.
I've done photo shoots.
I've done things that I've never done before. So like, just the reason why I did it was to have something to pursue and to accomplish. Because I know once I get on stage, it doesn't matter what the outcome is. Obviously, I want to do good, but I'm going to feel accomplished. Like, shit, I did this, I did that, leading up to that. So just to having that self-accomplishment is what I'm still pursuing. Mm-hmm. And having that goal to keep me in check. So that's pretty much the reason.
So I may get in trouble for this. Hopefully not. He's like, oh, shit. Because I know that you're not really taking a lot of nutrition coaching clients, but in celebration of pretty much a year ago, he started a 6-week program. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody that would like to maybe go through a 6-week program as a goal to end 2020 a different way as an introduction to what you do, maybe we can put something like that together.
Yeah, we can.
I'm like, shit, Jim, can we talk about this first?
You're going to squeeze on the thigh? Or...
Listen, I think it's... Because
you normally don't do that. You haven't done it since then. That was the only time you did it, and that was a year ago.
So I will preface it with that. Number one, I think that we probably should have ended the show right there because you do have to... No, and I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, I always tell people you've got to have the next goal lined up or you're going to start falling. If you're not growing, you're shrinking, right? So you've got to have that next goal lined up. And typically, no, I would not put together a 6-week program unless it was something, you know, out of the ordinary or just different. But over the last couple of weeks, I've continued to, if you're on our email list, I sent an email out when there was 100 days left in 2020. Like, how are you going to finish the next 100 days? I sent another one. Listen, there's 90 days left. How are you going to finish this year? You know, and I think at this point, there's probably 75 days. The other day I looked, there were 77 or 76. So there might be 75 days left in the year.
Till Christmas.
Till Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we do have more than 6 weeks left in the year. But I think that 6 weeks is a lot of time or enough time to catch momentum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is not enough time to reach your end goal, right? Like you are not going to reach your ultimate goal in 6 weeks. But it is enough time to create a lot of changes and a lot of things if you commit to the process.
Yes, always. That's key.
So if you are interested, yes, I will do it. Maybe a handful of people. If you're interested in committing to the process and you're putting the work and you want to do something,
you're serious about it
for 6 weeks and reach out, I will definitely
I just say one more thing for you.
Yeah.
Are you going to offer something else?
Shit.
Everybody's offering. Go ahead. Offer whatever.
No, like I just want to say, like, because it sounds like, oh yeah, it was so easy. It's like, look, it's been hell. There's times where I just wanted to quit. There's times I kept saying to myself, why am I doing this? But having those goals and those mini goals along the way kept me in check. It's been a rough ride. It's been hard. I'm not gonna lie, this is easy. No, it's been hard. I wanted to quit multiple times, you know. I've been beat up, like, but at the end of the day, if you just show up for yourself and you just continue to put in the work and actually put in work, like fucking put in work, like don't half-ass it. It's worth it. At the end of the day, you feel that self of accomplishment. You feel like a completely different person. So it's just fucking show up for yourself.
That's it.
I love it. Thank you for coming and us having you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your Sunday, guys. Happy Sunday.
Yes, happy Sunday.
And if you are...
turn everybody off.
Hold on, but you know, do the podcasting where you share,
comment.
Do all that stuff, because that stuff
now
is
I'm
good.
Now I'm going to see everyone who joined, because I can't see anything too far. I'm getting glasses next week. Bye, guys.
Enjoy your Sunday.
All right, wait. So-